The reading for today is, as Max said, 3 John. Verse 1, the Elder. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil is not seeing God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name.
Thanks, Linda. I'm going to pray and we'll touch on that passage and some other passages in the Bible. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Please be with us now as we seek to understand what you would be saying to us through that word. May we grow in our faith and our obedience to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 1998 film, The Wedding Singer, Adam Sandler, he plays a professional wedding singer who, after having his long-term girlfriend stand him up at the altar, has to go and sing at another wedding. But as you can imagine, he's not in a good mood for singing about love, and he ends up singing a song at this wedding reception with the following words. Here are the words that he sang. You love her, but she loves him, and he loves somebody else. You just can't win. And so it goes until the day you die, this thing they call love, it's going to make you cry. I've had the blues, the reds and the pinks, one thing's for sure, love stinks. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah, love stinks. And let's face it, he's right. When love doesn't match up with what you expect, love stinks. When you hope for love and it lets you down, love stinks. When you're looking for love and you just can't seem to find it, love stinks. When people don't love the way they're meant to, love stinks. Maybe you've hoped for a bit of love at church, but you've been let down on occasions. You've looked for it, but you can't find it. Maybe you didn't say out loud, love stinks, but maybe you wished love was a little bit more fresh. So how do we freshen up the love at church? Well, the Bible's got quite a bit to say on loving each other as God's people within the church, as I'm sure many of us know. Now, the letter of 3 John might not have been the first go-to on that for you, but I pray as we look at it together and other parts of the Bible that we might get a little bit of Glen 20 to freshen up the love here at church. Because to love God's people, it's actually to walk in the truth of who God is as revealed in Jesus. That's what the Apostle John thinks as he writes to his friend in this letter, 3 John. He writes to his friend and brother in Christ, a guy called Gaius. And he gushes over the fact that Gaius' love for God's people shows he's walking in the truth. We read it earlier. He says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that it all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. Well, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Now, see, to walk in the truth of Jesus is to love God's people. As those committed to the truth about God in Jesus, then, we'll look to love God's people too. And so, that's where we're going today, at what it looks like to love God's people. Firstly, by being hospitable. Secondly, by putting others first. And thirdly, by regularly meeting together. So, first up, to love God's people, to walk in the truth, is to be hospitable. That's what Gaius is. We see that in verse 5. John says, you are faithful, Gaius, in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They've told the church about your love. So, you know, some brothers in Christ, teachers of the gospel, like John, they'd obviously rocked up at Gaius' church, and even though he didn't know them, they were strangers, he loved them. How? Well, he was hospitable. He welcomed them into his life, into his home, he fed them, he housed them, he looked after them. And John reckons that's what we should all do. As he says later on in verse 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. Now John, he's particularly keen here that God's people will show hospitality to those who preach and teach the gospel, and that in doing so we actually join with them in their work. But elsewhere it's clear in the Bible, we're to be hospitable to any of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to any Christian we don't really know, as the letter of 1 Peter says. Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The word hospitality, it's a pretty cool word in the Greek. It's philoxenos. It's made up of two words, philos, love, and xenos, stranger. To love the stranger, then, in Christ, someone who's not necessarily in your immediate family or circle of friends, that's to show hospitality. And to do this is to walk in the truth. Because the truth is that God is hospitable. In his love, he gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He sacrificed what was most precious to him to ensure that he could have strangers with him where he lives, at his place, so to speak. You see, we're all strangers to God because of our sin, and we've all sinned. We've all wronged God and we deserve to be chucked out of his place. But through Jesus' death for our sin, God's actually offering us forgiveness and inviting us into his place forever. He's actually inviting strangers back home with him. Jesus is the greatest welcome mat ever. That's what God's like. And walking in the truth of this will look like loving like this. It'll be mean being hospitable. Which no doubt it'll be costly and inconvenient. Not that long ago, a spokeswoman for the US Association of Bridal Consultants, she was quoted saying this, I can't recall the last time I heard a bride promise to love unto death. People are more realistic now. Well, I'm glad that Jesus didn't exercise this kind of realism when he loved us. He loved his people to death. And as his people, it shouldn't surprise us if we feel moved to do something similar for each other, that we'd give up our time, that we give up our space, our money, our energy, our life, to be hospitable. It shouldn't surprise us that, like Gaius, we'd love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even if, and especially if, we don't really know them that well, no matter who they are, old, young, from a different culture or with different interests. We'll count the cost to reach out and welcome them into our lives, into our space, into our home, and care for them, and look out for them, and talk with them, and listen to them, and help them as need arises. Because to walk in the truth is to love God's people, which looks like being hospitable. So that's the first point. The second point is we love God's people by putting them first before ourselves. Unlike the guy Diotrephus that was in Gaius' church, that John says, loves to be first. So verse 9, he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephus, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Diotrephus loves to be first. loves being first. It seems church, for him, is about him, not others. Certainly not about strangers. And either by his example or his influence or both, he's stopping others in church loving God's people too. And John's like, don't be like him. As he says to Gaius in verse 11, dear friend, don't imitate what's evil, like Diotrephus, but what's good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil hasn't seen God. Clearly, it's a real temptation to be like Diotrephus. It's no surprise, really, because it's easy to love yourself over others. It's easy to grumble and disagree and point the finger and gossip than to be gracious and patient and loving and hospitable. Evil, it's easy. Doing good, that's hard. Costs more. But it's worth it. Because it comes with seeing who God is. Really knowing and appreciating the cost God paid to love his people in Jesus. That's to see God. In the truth about Jesus, we see what God's like and what he's on about. And it's this, the truth about God in Jesus, that'll move his people to love like him, to put others first, and to avoid getting sucked into being like the Diotrephuses of this world, who are peddling something that's everywhere and acceptable. There's a popular self-help program called Living the Truth. It's got four basic principles for unlocking a truthful life. First one is feel your true emotions. Second, find your true self. Thirdly, forgive with a true heart. And fourthly, forge your true future. Now, at a first glance, it doesn't seem half bad until you realise that the truth to be found in this program is all relative to you, your emotions, yourself, your heart, your future. This program might be better called Living Your Own Truth, which is the gospel of the world, right? Which not only feels right a lot of the time, it's a lot easier than living for others. But God knows that's not really living the truth. That's living a lie. Living a lie dressed up as the truth, and like all lies, it's a parasite and a cheap charade. In the end, living your own truth, it only sucks others dry and leaves you lonely and empty. And so John's saying, don't get sucked into that, into the ways of the world, the way of me first, particularly in church, because church, well, it's not about me, it's about us. I was struck particularly by this when we went through Romans earlier this year. The letter of Romans in the Bible, as the Apostle Paul writes. In chapter 12, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, it's interesting. It says, not living sacrifices, plural, but a living sacrifice, singular. As a whole, Paul says God's people are to be a living sacrifice. As a whole, they're to worship God. Properly worshiping God, then, and doing church, is less about what I do and more about what we do. God's ways, it's different to the world's ways, in that it's not I first, but we. And this takes a shift in our thinking. Which is only going to happen in view of the truth of God's mercy in Jesus, because it's in this mercy that God shows us something remarkable. That although he, God, is the first and the greatest, the I Am, the one, the only one who has every right to concern himself with what he wants and what he does first before anyone else, the only one who doesn't need anyone else to fulfill him or to make him whole or to satisfy him, that this great I Am mercifully chose us instead of just him. He chose to be with us forever. So to live God's way, then, is to change our thinking in view of God's mercy and to walk in the truth of it. Is to think about us instead of me. Not like the world's thinking, not like Diotrephus, who brought the world's thinking into church and loved to be first, but to walk in the truth. And to love others before yourself. To put yourself in their shoes. To find out what's good for them over yourself. To forgive them when they don't deserve it. To not gossip about them or discourage others mixing with them. But to love them over yourself. So that's the second point. We love God's people by putting them first. And the third point is we love by regularly meeting together. Hebrews chapter 10, the letter of Hebrews, or actually it's a sermon in the New Testament, in chapter 10 is a classic go-to for this text for this point, and for good reason. We read there, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." There seems to be a link between spurring one another on toward love and good deeds here and regularly meeting together. I guess that's because it's hard to spur each other on in Jesus if we're not intentionally meeting together to do so. A while ago, I wanted a six-pack. That's not me. That's just an example of a six-pack. I know that might come as a surprise to you that I don't already have one. I'm sure there is a six-pack under whatever else is there. But to see it six-pack, I knew I'd have to commit to a serious diet and some serious exercise. I needed to be intentional about it. But I wasn't. And so the six-pack isn't. And it's the same with loving God's people. To do so, to be spurring each other on towards love and good deeds, means we need to be intentional. Intentionally meeting together. To love God's people, then, is to be regularly meeting together. Growth groups are a great way to do this. And during this COVID season, there's no doubt that online conferencing tools like Zoom have been a godsend for many in continuing to meet in this way regularly, to spur each other on in love and good deeds. And many are still doing it online and are likely to keep on doing it online, which is a good thing. If you're not in a growth group, or you are and you're not regularly getting along to that growth group, see it for what it is. It's an opportunity to walk in the truth and love your brothers and sisters in Christ by meeting regularly with them. And then get into it. It's a great opportunity. Please let us know if you want to join a group. If you're not in one, or get on our website, follow the links, drop me an email, give me a ring. Growth groups, they're good for meeting regularly together. And of course, so Sunday church, what we're doing now. For good reasons, we've been pre-recording our services and showing them on a Sunday, and that has been great. It's good to join in with God's people online, sitting around God's word, praying together and singing together in that space. But I think we'd all agree meeting a person is better. And that seems pretty basic, a basic idea of doing church in the Bible. John himself, he yearns to be face-to-face with Gaius and the church and God's people there where Gaius is at. And so do many of the other New Testament writers. And that makes sense. After all, God chose to reveal himself to be known to his people in the flesh when he sent Jesus. And he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in the bodies of his people. Their bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told. God's keen on being with us in person. So it makes sense then that we'd want to regularly be with God's people in person too. When the restrictions were first brought in and we stopped meeting together in person on a Sunday, I remember, and you probably do too, how much grief there was over that. And not just people in our church that were upset by that, but all churches. I know someone who stood outside their empty church building the first time they couldn't meet together and wept. And so it's been great to be able to meet, to be able to start meeting back in person for the past couple of months. Now, it's true, when we first started meeting again, it was pretty weird and stilted with the social distancing, not being able to sing, and all the cleaning rigmarole. They suck. These things are annoying and irritating. But as we've got used to these things and got into a groove, it's feeling like church. It's really worth it to be with each other again in the flesh. I've loved seeing people and being able to pray together and listen to God's word together and hear songs about him and to join and to him together and chat afterwards for a little bit. Now, of course, we know some of us can't because of health reasons in our church family, and we would know then. And the wisest, most loving thing for them to be doing is to be regularly doing church online. But as we know, there are others who want to come back but are worried about other things perhaps, and unsure whether they can or should come back in person. If you know someone like this, please encourage them to chat with us. Maybe we can figure something out within the restrictions that we've got to make it possible for them to start coming back to church in person. And for those of us here, keep coming regularly. It's a great encouragement that you're here. So keep doing it. Growth groups, Sunday church, these are great ways to regularly meet together, to spur each other on in Jesus. Great ways to love God's people. So let's look to walk in the truth together and love each other in these ways. By being hospitable, by putting others first, and by regularly meeting together. You see, love does stink in church if it's only ever about me and mine, or if it's only about my convenience and comfort. But love in the truth, love that doesn't stink, it looks like being hospitable to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It looks like counting the cost, putting them first, and it looks like regularly meeting together as God's people. So let's keep walking in the truth by loving God's people in these ways. Maybe after this service, go and chat with someone that you don't know as well. Ask them what you're going to be praying for them about. Get to know them so that you can love them. Let's be walking in the truth by loving each other as God's people. I'm going to pray to that end now. Father God, thanks that we know you and the truth of your love for us in Jesus. Please grant us a growing interest in that truth, such that we might walk in it and love your people from the heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has saved us to know him and to love him. And we're going to reflect on that in our final song, The Saving One. So let's stand, hum along if you like, sway even, as we reflect on the words of this song and the wonder of our God who is our saving one. Let's stand.